Open up your Bibles to Mark chapter, Mark chapter 11, verse 22. That's where we're going to, this is going to be the basis of our teaching today. But I'm going to kick a religious cow in the butt real quick and get it out of the way. You know, because I know you've heard this. God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. Well, how did you get born again? If he doesn't hear the prayer of sinners, nobody's born again. Amen? Now, I'm going to go to a couple verses. You don't have to go there in your Bible, but I'm going to go there just to build a little foundation here so we can get rock solid. We need to be solid on what we do, what we believe. Huh? We'll do it later. Yeah, we'll do it later. Psalms 66. Psalms 66, verse 18. Says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So there's God saying he will not regard iniquity. That's right. That's the word of God. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 28. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Okay, those are both in the Bible, right? They're both there. Always remember who's talking and who they're talking to. You know, always pay attention to what side of the cross it is set on. Remember, there were things that were said before the cross and things that were said after the cross. And it absolutely has a big weight. Now go to Acts chapter 10, verse 31. Acts chapter 10. Verse 31, and said, Cornelius, this was an angel talking to Cornelius, said, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Now, that's curious. Cornelius was not Jewish, and he wasn't born again. But here's this angel telling him that God heard his prayers. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, and we'll get started here. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Okay, so now we got some stuff to build on there. In the Old Testament, them people were under the law. In the Psalms and Proverbs, those people were under the law, and they had to do everything exactly right in order for them to be in good standing with God. Now, we found in Acts where God heard the prayers of Cornelius, who was not a Jew. And then this verse we just read in 1 Peter said, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. When you get born again, the very minute you get born again, you get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're the righteous. You're in right standing with God. Under the law, they had to do everything absolutely perfect in order to be in right standing with God. But because of the blood of Jesus, when you got born again, you got put in right standing with God. Now, his ears are open unto your prayers. Now, did I just give you a license to go sin and be an idiot? No. But here's the thing. The Bible says there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So as far as God's concerned, he's not condemning you. But if you willfully sin, if you willfully do things you know that are wrong, your heart's going to condemn you. God doesn't have to condemn you. The devil will condemn you. But it's not God. You'll feel it in your heart when you know you do something wrong. It's not God bringing it to your remembrance. The devil will bring it to your remembrance. 1 John 1:7 says that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. Why do we go through all this? Because we needed to get the pathway clear. We need to get condemnation out of the way so we can have a level mind and a heart that's open to receive from God. It means we're going to have a surety that he hears us when we pray. And we're going to have a surety that we got the answer that we prayed for. Now, go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Said, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. And the literal translation of that is to have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. The God kind of faith is that faith that says what it believes. It calls things that aren't as though they are. Amen? It says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I send you what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Okay. That's the basis. When you begin your prayer based on God's word, you're starting with the answer. You're saying what you believe. You're starting with that answer. You're returning his word to him. The word contains the answer to every single problem that could confront you. Always remember, see, the devil has never ever been able to create anything. All he's ever been able to do is to twist and counterfeit. And what he did when he got Adam to sin and he took that blessing from Adam, he twisted it and turned it into the curse. See, there was no such thing as the curse. When Adam and Eve were in the garden right there, before anything happened, there was no death, there was no sickness, there was no disease, there was no curse. Only the blessing of God. What did he say? Be blessed, be fruitful, multiply. That is the first thing God told man was to be fruitful and multiply. What's the main thing that the devil does right now to cause that to not happen? Abortions by the millions. He's doing everything he can do to stop man from being fruitful and multiplying on this earth. Amen? Now, when you know this, and every time something bad happens, it's a reaction to something good. When there's something bad, it's because something good has already been in place. The devil's never been able to create anything. Only twist and counterfeit. He's never been able to come up with anything new. It's just, he twists it. Something attacks your body, it's because God has already ordained health on you. Something has attacked your finances, it's because God has already blessed you with prosperity. Now, go back to Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. The next step in praying effectively, you must believe you receive when you pray. Do not wait until the manifestation comes to believe you receive. This is a biggie. And this is why I end up revisiting prayers so many times. When you pray, believe that you receive the answer. It didn't say anything about you receiving the answer when you see the manifestation. See, the Bible tells us that we have to walk by faith, not by sight. So you're going to believe that you received the answer to your prayer, even though you can't see it, feel it, hear it, touch it, taste it, or smell it. You're going to believe that you received the answer to your prayer. This is very effective. To believe you receive what you asked for. Now, I believe in the name of Jesus that I'm going to receive macaroni and cheese on Pastor Appreciation Day. And it's going to be that good baked kind of macaroni and cheese where it's kind of brown and crusty on the top. It'll be in a casserole about like that. And it's going to be good with that real cheese in it. It's going to be real sticky and gooey. I believe I received that in the name of Jesus. And then you just thank God for the answer. See, you praise God. See, the Bible tells us that you've been made kings and priests. When you pray, you pray specifically. I mean, as a king, you say specifically what it is that you desire. You find that promise in God, in God's word, and then you return his word to him. And you be specific about what it is that you want. And then as priests, you offer up praises to him. You start praising him for the answer. Even though you can't smell that macaroni and cheese, you can't taste it, you can't see it, you praise him that you got that macaroni and cheese. Amen? You praise him that you got the healing that you desired of him. You praise him that you've got the finances that you need. You offer up your praises to God, and that fixes your heart and your soul on the answer. And then when that macaroni and cheese manifests itself, on Pastor Appreciation Day and you scoop it up out of that casserole and you put it on your plate, you thank him for it. When your healing manifests itself, you thank God for healing me. Thank you, Father, I feel better. Thank you for healing me. So while you was waiting on your manifestation, you was praising God. And when your body started feeling better, then you start thanking God. Too many times people get this backwards. They praise God when their body feels better. That's good to praise God no matter what, but don't forget to thank him. Amen. When your blessing happens, go ahead and praise him, but go ahead and thank him too. Thank him for the answer. Now, get to know God personally. Your problems will diminish. You know, Jesus said to take his yoke upon you and learn of him. Did you catch that? Jesus said to take his yoke upon him and learn of him. He didn't say learn about miracles. He didn't say learn about faith. He didn't say learn about nothing. He said learn of him. See, all your blessings are wrapped up in him. Don't chase the blessing, chase him. When you get so wrapped up in him, all this other stuff is going to happen. You know, the Bible said, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. There's that word righteousness again. So what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is love, joy, peace, and the Holy Spirit. When you find out that you've been forgiven of all your sins, and that you're in right standing with God, that's going to cause joy in your heart. Amen? And here's the thing. When you find out that righteousness isn't about your clothes, it isn't about nothing else, it's about the blood of Jesus taking what was wrong between you and God and washing it away, putting you in right standing with God, that means you got a clean slate with him. Then you can boldly enter into the throne room of grace without any condemnation, without any fear, and receive grace and help in the time of need. Just out of curiosity, was there anything that any of you did to make yourself the righteousness of God other than say, Jesus, save me? No? So you couldn't make yourself righteous before God? No? How are you going to make yourself unrighteous? See, this is a toughie. Even the Word of Faith circles can't quite get their minds wrapped around this one. You can't make yourself righteous. You can't make yourself unrighteous. You couldn't deal with your sin problem. Are you still in right standing when you make a mistake? Mm-hmm. This drives religious people nuts. It's because of the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1:7 says that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. You're in right standing with God. I did hear of an account, read an account of a guy that had been in the Word of Faith circles, operated in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He got on national TV and said, I do not believe the blood of Jesus is good enough for my salvation. I reject it. That guy made himself unrighteous right there. He literally said he rebuked it all and he was going to go on with the Satanism. And there's nothing God can do for that. He took his salvation and purposely threw it away. There's nothing he can do about that. He's not in right standing anymore. Amen? He dishonored the Holy Spirit. None of you have ever done that. Yeah. There's some people wandering around wondering if maybe they hurt the Holy Spirit bad enough to lose their salvation. No. No. Look, you got to sometimes step back and look at things realistically. You know, God is our Heavenly Father. He loves it. How many of you, when you had little kids, was teaching them how to walk? And you picked Junior up, and he was holding your fingers, and he was walking along. And you said, okay, now, I showed you how to walk over to the coffee table. And you took him back and said, okay, Junior, you go to the coffee table. And he walks over there and crashes. How many of you went over and picked Junior up by the nape of the neck and said, I told you how to do this twice, you know? You get it. You get it right this time or I'm done with you. It sounds absurd, doesn't it? And we're people. We haven't even grasped the realities of agape love, which is the love that God has for us. And Jesus, one of the people around him asked him, said, how many times should we forgive our neighbor? And Jesus said, 70 times 7. In a day. Now, if he would expect us to do that, how much more is he going to do that for us? See, sometimes we have to try to imagine the compassion of the Father's heart for us by looking sometimes at our mamas. How much does a mama love her baby? Oh my God. They love them things. And they're got them all wrapped up in these blankets and they say, here, you want to see my baby? They go, brother, they're so proud of these. They flip that blanket open and say, my God, woman, he's all wrinkly. You heard that expression? Oh, baby, so ugly, only his mama could love him. I mean, sometimes it takes a little while for them to come into their real selves. God loves us beyond measure. Amen. And he wants you to know that you're in right standing with him. He loves you so much that he put his own son on the cross for you. He loves you so much. He loves you with the same love that he loves Jesus with. Now, we got that in our hearts. We know the love of God. We believe the love of God. Amen. Now, go to Numbers chapter 23. See, it's important to understand some of these things. You know, sometimes people have a hard time in prayer because they're not really sure where they stand with God. I ran into a lot of people. I'd run up to them, witness to them, and say, you going to heaven? He said, I hope so. I said, what do you mean you hope so? What are you going to do, flip a coin? what do you think? You're going to take your last breath and go up there and you're going to meet Peter at the pearly gate and he's going to flip a coin and see which way you go, one way or the other? And people really honestly do wonder about these things. But they have to have their... they have to have their life built upon the rock, and that rock is Jesus. You have to know. You can't be hoping. You have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that because Jesus raised Jesus back, that because God raised Jesus back to life, and you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. That is building your life on the rock. And everything else is going to be the same way. You have to know that God loves you beyond any shadow of a doubt because of the shed blood of Jesus. Amen? He's not looking at you the way you think he's looking at you. When he sees you, he sees the perfect sacrifice of his son. He doesn't see any flaws. He sees a perfect work. Now look at Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. It says, but God is not a man. How about that? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. I mean, he's not going to change his mind. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? See, this is one of those things. God's not going to say, okay, you asked for healing, I'll give it to you. But maybe not. He's not going to give you healing and then take it back. He said, by his stripes you were healed. That's absolute white hot truth. He's not going to change his mind about that. What is going to change is the way we receive it. Whether we believe it or not, whether we have any doubt about it or not. Sometimes people wonder if it's God's will for them to be healed or prospered or protected or delivered. You know what God's will is? His word. That's his word. His will is his word. When we ask according to his will, we receive the petition we desire. His will is his word. When we ask according to his word, we receive the petitions that we desired of him. So when we return his word to him, it does not return to him void. It will cause something to happen in you. Or in your circumstance. Amen? We better stop there. We're going to revisit this next Sunday. Amen? Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Now, we talked about the way God sees you. He looks at you through the perfect work of Jesus. Now, what he wants us to do when we take communion and we discern the body of Christ, he wants us to not just look at this bread with the stripes in it and the piercings in it and it's broken and all this stuff, but he wants us to actually see Jesus in his sacrifice. actually see him on that cross. See him taking those stripes on his back. We look at this, and this bread has stripes in it, and it is by his stripes that we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. You know, Jesus did get a sword, you know, a Roman soldier thrust a sword into his side, but that's not the only place his body was pierced. He was pierced in his hands, and he was pierced in his feet, and he was pierced in his scalp. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood, and we get redemption for that in some area. His body was without recognition. They could not even tell he was even a human being when he was on the cross. He was so marred. And this was all for us. It was for our healing, our redemption, our freedom. Everything about it was for us. That's how much he loves us. And this bread is slightly burned. You know, we deserved a judgment. We deserve the judgment. You know, the Bible tells us that we were justified freely by his grace. You know, you can't be justified until you have first been judged. And when you understand covenant, you'll realize that you were with Jesus when he was on that cross. The full wrath of God's fiery judgment, that judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. He took our judgment so that we could take his life, we could take his peace, his healing, his blessing, everything that Jesus deserved, we get. Everything that we deserved, Jesus took. So we're taking this for our healing, and we thank you for it. Interesting thing, when Jesus met Thomas, he said, "Here, thrust your finger in the print of my hand, and thrust your hand into my side." See, he told him, said, "I am flesh and bone." There was not one single drop of blood left in him. It was all gone. He poured it all out. He spent his entire blood on us. It took away our sins. His blood protects us. His blood seals in the New Testament promises for us. We plead the blood of Jesus over us, and it's because of his shed blood that we can boldly enter into the throne room of grace and receive grace, mercy, and time of need. It's because of his blood that we can go into the presence of the Father and pray. We thank you for this. Father, we thank you for the many, many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for the grace that you show us every single day. We thank you that even when we make a mistake, that you can fix it. You're there to help us. We praise you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have homemade muffins and coffee and fellowship. Everybody come on back and have some.